to A Jungian and a Witch podcast. I'm your co-host, Molly, the queen behind Queen of Cups Apothecary and your resident witch. This is my dad, Steve, a Jungian analyst with over 30 years experience, a master's in divinity, and a myth expert. Join us as I get the Jungian perspective on a wide range of witchy topics. Hello everybody and welcome back. We had to take a little break there for 2 weeks. My dad and I had to attend a funeral and then I went right into vending, one of the biggest events that I've ever done for Queen of Cups. Shout out to Northlands Music Festival. If you'd ever like to join me at a festival, you can see all of my events on the experiences section on my website. But you know, Dad and I were really tired when we did this episode, so I just want to let you know up front, it's a little bit looser of an episode, but I do think you get to see our personalities. We're a bit chatty and, you know, a little bit raw, so I hope you enjoy it. And if anything like this ever happens again, you can just check in the show notes. I did put it up when I realized that we were going to have to take a break for a little bit. But just know that Dad and I are doing this for fun and we're not going away anytime soon. We absolutely love talking about stuff like this and it's not going to be something that we stop anytime soon. So we are back and today we are talking about Litha or summer solstice. So that's only a few days away at this point and I hope you get a chance to celebrate it, go get some sun and enjoy that long, long day, the longest day of the year. I hope you enjoy our discussion and I'll see you on the other side. All right, Dad, we're back with another episode and we're going to be continuing our little series we've been doing on the Sabbats. So coming up on June 20th is Litha, which is the summer solstice. And I know we both love this time of year, seeing as we're both Geminis. So this time of year is really when we start to shine and the sun is out and it's warm. And we've both agreed our whole life that this is the best month. June is the best month out of the year.
Of course,
particularly here, yeah, in New England. We absolutely love, love, love to be in June. This is our season. It's Gemini season. And when we hit the solstice, we switch into Cancer season. And I'm a Cancer rising, if anybody's interested in my chart.
What does that mean, Cancer rising? I don't know what it means.
So it means when we're looking at our birth chart, which is the sky, the moment we're born, it's the house that is currently rising on the horizon.
I'm aware of that.
Okay. Yes. And so what it means is it's very similar to the sun in astrology, which is like your persona and your personality, except the first house is more about those unchangeable things about you. It's like undeniable core being, like bits of you. And so for me, I definitely associate with Cancer a lot. I'm very much a water person. Most of my chart is water. I'm also a Scorpio moon, which means my moon was in Scorpio. And then my Gemini is actually my 12th house, which is really interesting. So the 12th house is the house of the unknown. So for me, it's not particularly weird that I would be really into this kind of stuff and that it's a part of, you know, my personality and in who I am, because my sun, right, my personality, my persona is in the house of the unknown and the unconscious and the maybe shunned upon or taboo things of the world. So so I talk about all sorts of those things because they're part of my personality and my Cancer moon. Cancer rising. So I'm very much in tune with my emotions. That's my, you know, how everybody just wants to tell me their life story. That's the Cancer rising. So, and that's what happens at markets all the time is that people just tell me their life story. I'm very approachable.
I thought it was because you're just a good listener, but okay.
Well, it's both of those, I guess. And then Scorpio moon. Yeah. And then Scorpio is very, again, the sign of the unconscious and of the mysteries of life. And Scorpios are known for like not liking small talk. And so my moon, my emotional body very much wants like direct emotions. That's why I think also I'm really into this stuff, because I don't want to have like, I don't want to talk about the weather, you know, like I want to know what's really going on deep down inside. I don't really care about all that frivolous stuff. So I'm also interested. I think we should do your chart one of these days.
Oh God, no.
We'll do that. We'll make that a whole podcast episode. How about?
Oh, you can... nah, I'm really scared. Yeah.
Now you're really scared. Uh-huh. We could at least, let's get your top three. So when people talk about their top three, it's their sun, their moon, and their rising. Because you can really get a lot of information from that. And then for my chart in particular, everything else is pretty much water. I'm a very emotional being. I have my Mars, which is my action energy and how I get things done in Capricorn. So that's my like saving grace, because Capricorn is all about scheduling and structure. It's an earth element. It's about, you know, getting things done and planning. So I have that in me. It's there. The way I get things done is through planning. And I think that's also my saving grace with mom, because she's an Aries and she always wants to just get things done. So at least we have that link together.
And planning.
And planning. Yeah, we're both really big planners. So
yeah. See,
at least I have that thread with her.
We call that the ego function.
Ego functioning. Well, yes. Getting things done. Ego
getting things done. Planning. Mm. Yes.
Okay. I think the ego encompasses all of these pieces, though. I mean, maybe not the unconscious ones.
Let's see.
Pluto, but...
And then there's the concept of executive function. I mean, that's all the planning, getting things done. Like
I would say it's more like executive function.
Executive
sure,
function,
yeah.
Which is an aspect of the ego, right? Executive functioning. And then, but you see it has a developmental window, as in right. Little kids don't have it and acquire it. Slowly, and then apparently at a certain age where you can't remember anymore, you begin to lose executive function.
Right, exactly. Well, with all that mental decline that you old people go through.
Well, you'll have to tell me when I get there, because I won't right. know. Yeah.
I think you're going to be the opposite. You're going to be one of those people where your mind is just fine, but your body, you know... Yeah, because it's either way, right? Because either your body goes first or your mind goes first. You don't really get a choice, do you?
I think I'm ready for small talk now instead of talking about mortality.
This is what I'm talking about. Right? We're trying to do banter and small
death,
talk, and we just end
know,
up talking
like
about the reality of death.
Mortality and death and, you know, all the fun stuff, you know.
Exactly. Oh, we're trying to banter you guys, but this is what ends up happening when you put us in a room together. Okay. Let's just get back to Litho. We'll try more banter next week, okay?
Right. So again, Lith is not a term that I would know or is used in my community, but you'll have to tell me about it.
Yep, I think that's more the name from the neo-pagan Wicca community, I want to say.
Okay.
I did not actually look up, that probably would have been a good idea, the origins of that name specifically for it, but I'm guessing it's similar to like Ostara, where somebody called it that and it just stuck. But really, we're talking about midsummer, the point at which the sun is at its peak for us here in the north, and in the south it is the shortest day. Because we're opposites. And then it's the day we switch, I think I said this before, from Gemini season to Cancer season. What did you find as far as some mythical stuff, Dad? Did you look back on the origins of celebrating this?
Sure. I mean, it's ancient. I mean, the Romans celebrated it, but what we think of as midsummer is medieval times. So, you know, 1,000 years ago, and that essentially every city, every town, every village would celebrate midsummer. I mean, it says, you know, that they generally celebrated on the 24th of June. And then also back a little bit to our conversation about May Day, right, is that you have to remember that this is part of that transition between a Neolithic society that has a lunar calendar and a Bronze Age and everything after society that has a solar calendar, because by definition, if you know when the solstice is, it's a solar calendar.
It's a solar event. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes, but it is very difficult to know when the actual solstice is, which is
Oh.
why it can be celebrated on, on many different days, because it was kind of the longest day, right? It's like, close enough, right? Because actually, I think people don't know. I mean, the Latin solstice, I mean, sol means
Sun,
sun, and the
right?
stis means stop. Sun,
Stop.
stop.
Oh, so
Which
it
it
hangs out at that top point then.
So it is very slow, as in over days of beginning to see the movement back in the other direction, that it
Nice.
stopped. And then, so, I mean, like, what does that mean, right? So, in the sun rises in the east, the way the sun gets the highest in the sky and the day is longest, it means actually on the summer solstice, the sun rises as far north as it ever gets. So the sun does not rise in the due east
Yes, it has a window, right?
at all. In fact, it's shifted northeast on the summer solstice. Theoretically, it's on the equinox that the sun rises in the east,
Because it's in the middle,
except for us, we have to adjust for latitudes. So the correct definition would be at the equator. The sun rises in the due east on the equinox. At the equator, the sun is the highest in the sky on the equinoxes. It's bent over. As in, when I say high in the sky, I mean 90 degrees straight up. And that's why, like when you go to Hawaii or, things like that, that
You get really sunburned,
you
right?
gotta wear your sunscreen. That tropical sun, it is very different than what we get. I'm trying to remember here in New England on the summer solstice, 79 degrees high.
Okay,
Not, I think
yeah.
it's not quite 80, but we never get
That
to
would make sense, yeah.
we never get to 90, as in
Yeah.
straight up. But at the equator, then on the equinoxes, the sun is not straight up, but then that's where the tropic comes in, the Tropic of Cancer, the Tropic of Capricorn. That's where the line of the tropics is that on the summer solstice in our Tropic of Capricorn, in other words, south of Florida, the sun will be at 90 degrees on the summer
Wow.
solstice.
Yeah, I've never thought about
But
the
anywhere
difference like that.
north of there, it never gets quite that straight up,
Yeah,
right?
we get way more indirect light than they do. It's very more direct.
So that's,
Interesting.
but the cultural part first, right, is that you have to be able to calculate the sun. It's
Yeah, I can imagine that'd be
the
difficult.
solstice, so sun stop means that it rises like for several days in almost exactly the same place without moving. That's the sun stop. And then you're like, well, so I mean, you're observing it, and you're like,
You're like, why is
well, and
it
then out of those 3 or 4 days when it doesn't move, it's like, well, which of those 3 or 4 days is the
not
actual
moving?
solstice, right? And so that's, so I forget. There's an official calculation of how they do it now. So there's
But
that.
back then there was a
But
window back in the
so
day.
that's why midsummer is a very good term, because it's kind of indistinct, and it's like, it's kind of midsummer.
It's really bright out for most of the day.
Yeah, because it has to do with the apparent motion of the sun, right? Where it r r rises on the horizon. So that is where then this mythology of the Oak King and the Holly King come in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Normally, you would say, well, I would say the Oak King is kind of summer, right? Because the oak tree is like a thing of summer. It doesn't have any leaves in the winter. And the Holly
Exactly.
King, sort of, and all evergreens, you would think, well, that must be the winter because it's an evergreen.
Evergreen, yeah.
And the answer is it's kind of like that, except that even though we celebrate the solstice as, you know, the highest in the sky the sun gets, and by definition, the longest day, that's viewed as the transition because, of course, every day after that, the sun gets lower and lower.
Right.
So that's why in the battle between the king of winter and the king of summer.
Okay, so oak is actually the king of winter?
No, oak is the king of summer, but on the solstice, he is defeated by the holly king because now it is the time of winter in the sense that every day gets shorter and shorter and shorter all the way to the winter solstice. And then in their battle on the winter solstice, the Oak King wins. Because every day after the winter solstice, the days get longer and longer.
So even though it's colder, about the length of the
You're
day.
Under the rule of that principle, right? Of the days getting longer, or you're under the rule of that principle, the days getting shorter. So that's where
that comes in.
The solstice is the summer solstice is the transition to the Holly King. And so, I mean, in a typical thing, they dress up for this, right? I mean, and they have a ritual battle, and sometimes it's more intense. I mean, in some of the stories of you know, these medieval celebrations, I mean, there's the two kings and their retinue, their troops, and they would fight. And, you know, arms and legs would be broken in the mock battle.
Oh, taking it a little too real.
Well,
huh?
Right. I mean, then you could say that's not really any different than rugby. There you go.
Okay, I guess. Mm-hmm. People do break bones in rugby.
Oh, the lads like to have their fun, you know. And they would dress up so that the Holly King is in green, obviously.
Right.
And the Oak King is kind of yellow. And
like brown, like a tree trunk kind
of. Like the sun, actually. Yellow. And then that is where actually one of our images of Santa Claus, the really green Santa Claus with all kinds of leaves and holly. Mistletoe, FYI, that all comes actually from the Holly King.
Oh.
So you think, well, what is Santa Claus? You know, he...
Right.
But remember, it becomes the time of the Holly King because from now on, the days get shorter and shorter.
Actually, it does make sense. And I guess we'll see these guys again when we talk about Yule.
Same two guys. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
Interesting. Yeah.
The same two guys. And another thing that we see again on the summer solstice is the bonfires. You remember, you know, the bonfires on May Day.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Huge.
And so do they have the same thing where they're like passing the cattle through them?
No.
Or is it a different feel?
Right. So it's not the fertility rituals, fertility magic like May Day,
right?
You know, because the crops are planted
already going,
and little calves have already come. It's not really associated with fertility, and in that way, you see what I mean. That it's not. It's more of a Bronze Age celebration than a Neolithic celebration.
Okay.
Because it is about the sun.
Right. And they weren't as
and that's
intricately woven with the sun back
and
before
that's
that.
Not fertility.
Okay. So did it have its own what was the word that you used for it? The type of magic.
Right. Sympathetic magic.
Sympathetic.
That was for it. Yeah. May Day. And then the answer is no.
The Lith is not the same.
No magic associated with Midsummer.
Okay.
Again, because it's
a different time.
It is. I mean, it's more of a, I mean, do we really need an excuse to have a party? It's like, yes. Okay. Well, how about on the shortest night of the year, we all stay up all night.
Oh, well, there you go.
And party all night long.
Well, then just have fun.
Right. For about, you know, a short night, like 7 hours.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fun.
And if we're going to be up at night, we may as well have a big bonfire, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, and I can see in this case, maybe the bonfire is associated with the sun, right? Because mm-hmm. it's both fire. And so I could see that association. And so I'm thinking about, because there's the god of in Greek and Roman, right, that goes up and down. Is he associated with
Helios?
Helios, yeah.
Right, drives his chariot, which carries the sun across the sky.
Hmm.
No, I'm not aware of any particular thing about what happens to Helios on the solstice.
On solstice, yeah.
I mean, sun...
Besides he's working extra hard.
Some stopped. Does he stop and turn around, you know? And,
oh, right.
Right. Right. But the sun still goes around the earth. The turning around, you remember, is if you, mm-hmm. you're up at dawn.
Every day, yeah.
And you have a little pencil that you mark the sun rose right here at this spot today mm-hmm. and today. Yesterday and
right.
tomorrow. And then your little pencil marks, you see them
mm-hmm.
move.
Backtrack, yeah, after that.
Yeah, all the way till the winter solstice when the sun will be the furthest in the southeast. That's what makes a short day. And then boom, 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 back again. Your little pencil marks back to the summer solstice. There you go.
Okay.
So I think it's just a good time to have an all-night party, you know.
So that's what we're going to do. That would be funny. Although, since I have a child, I don't really stay up all night anymore. It's just really not a possibility. So it's interesting that you do message in chariot, though. I just, looking up tarot cards, I was trying to figure out which one I would associate with this event, Litha. And I saw a lot of people saying the chariot, and I was not really getting that reference. But when you talked about Helios and the chariot, I'm wondering if there's a connection there, maybe.
I think
because chariot's about action energy and moving forward. It's also about like the vehicle, because it's the chariot, right? So it's like how we're moving forward. And I was just, for me, my instant connection was the sun, like the sun card, obviously, because we're talking about the sun. And maybe the midsummer is a time, because the sun's also about really being yourself, right? Because again, in astrology, it's about our personality. So the sun card is really about being ourselves as well. So maybe in midsummer, we feel a little bit more open to being who we really are. I don't know. Maybe there's a connection there.
Sure. I mean, is there such a thing as a summer and winter personality?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I mean, I get really bad winter depression. I hate leaving the house.
And like you say, since both of us are born in June, I certainly feel the best in June.
Right? I'm very biased, for sure.
And
summer
the
babies.
Strongest. I mean, it's nothing is better than June, sort of,
right.
For me. So, perhaps. I mean... Isn't there a thing in your colors, like for makeup and things, that there's also a summer person in the fall and
Right. There's a summer palette. Yeah.
let's
It's a
see.
palette, a certain colors that you use. And the summers are obviously the brightest, right? And then in the fall, you have more like autumn, like pumpkin spice and fall leaves. And then the winter is colder colors. And then the spring's pastel. So, yeah, the summer would be the brightest. It's an interesting analogy.
Yeah, you'd have to tell me, more about what the astrological meaning of the summer solstice. I mean, you did say it was a transition, obviously,
It is, yeah, it's a transition
from
from the
Gemini,
Gemini to
can't.
Cancer. Yeah, and so we're moving from Gemini is a mutable sign, which means it's towards the end of a season and it likes change. Like Geminis are good with change, although sometimes I wonder about the rest of your chart when I see that because you're not so good with change. But
Yeah,
the
okay, that's oh,
there is
yeah,
yeah.
let's talk about the weather now.
Oh.
Just kidding, just
And so, and
kidding.
then we're Cancer is cardinal sign, so that means that it's very much like the most of it's like the beginning of a season, you know. So it's always
Well, I mean,
the like the strongest version of it.
the cardinal has to do with the solstice.
Yeah, and the equinoxes.
Right. So
So each,
those are the four, and
they are.
it's a cardinal sign, and they're also called the cardinal directions. I mean,
Right, exactly.
that there's a great mythology behind that.
Behind the cardinals.
The cardinal point in which is, the old alchemical thing of the squaring of the circle. Have you heard of that, squaring the circle?
It's I can envision what that would be about, but I would like you to tell me.
Oh, well, it's a part of the alchemical transformation. If you're trying to transmute something, squaring the circle is one of the operations, and then literally that the four directions, the cardinal points on the compass. Four, they're squaring
Before
the circle of the year, or
of the year, yeah.
the horizon. So this is actually Babylonian mythology, way back,
Nice.
because it has to do with how many degrees of the horizon are there on a
Three
compass?
on a compass, 360.
That's right. Why?
Because it divides nicely. I haven't either,
That is almost, you're getting there.
right? Because we
That's
talked
true.
about this before, how we could it could have been any number, but they decided 360.
The Babylonians, right? Because they're using the sexagesimal number system instead of our decimal system. I mean, for us, we would say, well, why aren't there 100, a nice round, or 1,000? We'll say there's 1,000. And then there's the other thing. So why divide it by four? You can divide it by anything you want to. And
Because it's
also
stable.
that you get, I mean, east. What is east? And again, I mean, it's a concept. Okay, if you have a compass, I mean, magnetic north
North,
is something. I mean,
exactly, yeah.
right?
Well,
And
then
you
east, I mean,
know
the sun rises in the
now
east, quotes, quotes.
the sun rises over there-ish,
There, that's why I put those quotes, yeah,
right-ish, and
ish.
it moves
It does,
where
yeah.
it rises. So, like I say, north, except we also know that magnetic north wanders around also, that it's
Yeah,
changing.
it is.
Now and there may be, in fact, a pole flip, that and apparently that's happened many times in the history of the Earth, that our magnetic field can
Just
flip.
switches.
Yeah. And as it sort of tilts and tilts and tilts and then So we'll see what happens when that happens.
Would that mess with electronics and stuff, or?
Everybody's saying no, and some people are saying it might, and it will kind of mess with satellites.
I would think it would, yeah.
And also that just the movement of the pole, the magnetic north, they have to make adjustments to the satellites
Yeah,
to
yeah.
account for the drift.
Yeah, I would think that it would.
So, I mean, a little bit of science, but in the long run, everything about the calendar, a solar calendar, and the four cardinal points is mythological.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah, I guess it's all made up, right? Human
Right,
construct.
as in it's a human construct because it's, I mean, again, think about it, that when you have a little child, the little child does not know what day it is,
Right. Yeah.
does
My kid
not
definitely does not know what
know,
day it is.
as in the week, the month, the year,
Yeah.
or what direction is.
She's
See
finally
that?
old enough for she's p picking up seasons. She remembers it was cold in winter,
And now
and now
it's,
it's warm.
there you go.
Yeah.
So that you would say in this transition to the Bronze Age, cultures, the thing that makes it possible to have a higher, so-called higher civilization, is the construction of the world. It is a men it's a mental construction.
Yeah.
But without that mental construction, everything is, well, you're living in the timeless moment, like
Well, yeah.
always, which may be a good thing. Like
Maybe we have too many constructs now.
it's sort of timeless time, right?
Yeah.
Like a child lives in
Right.
timeless
Timeless time.
time.
Yeah.
And then primary cultures are, cultures still in, there's a thing called African time,
Okay.
which is more, because again, think of it, when you live near the equator, you don't have summer and winter and four seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, you have the rainy season and you have the wet
Yeah,
season, and
exactly.
the dry season, and that's very important, and you have to know and begin to understand, oh, the new season
It's
is it
coming, yeah.
coming.
Or when the rains should be
But I
close,
mean,
yeah.
there's no particular need for chronological time the way that we do it. So my old analyst who lived in South Africa a while would, the story is she would have a party and invite, people to come to the party.
Okay. Okay.
And this one guy shows up 2 weeks after the date of the party
'Cause he had no idea when it was.
and says, "Where's the party?"
Right.
And he still expected his party. But the time thing was, he said, "Oh, okay, that I did have the most wonderful time coming here." See,
Just,
it's
yeah.
about the journey. See what I mean? Not the destination.
Yeah. Because it took him 2 weeks to
So, like the
get there.
earliest forms of time are like a child. It's like it's eating time.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes
It's
sense. Sleeping
sleeping
time.
time. It's milking the cow time. See what I mean?
Yeah, it's very basic.
And at it's 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night. Time to go to bed because it's artificially says it's
Yeah,
ten
rather
o'clock.
than it's dark out and I'm gonna go to bed.
I feel like sleeping. It's sleeping time. I just feel like it, and that's how I
Yeah.
know when it's the right time. I know when to do it. And I would say the same thing with the directions. But you can't have a higher civilization without the creation of this
Time
structure
construct,
world
yeah.
constructed on top of, but most people don't realize it's on top of
Right.
the phenomenological world. And we think, oh, it's real. I'm sorry. I said I would be here at 10 o'clock and I just couldn't make it till 10:15.
Right. You get so like,
think about that.
I get so much social anxiety when I'm late. I'm always early to everything.
And that's what you see what that construct is doing.
Yeah. It's all just made up anyway.
Or you have to get something at the store and it closes at 5 and you're there at 5:01 and like, nope, locked door, you can't come in. And that's this construct. But we need it for things to function in this modern way.
But so we had to square the circle.
We had to square the circle. I kind of like the old way, or I can see some really useful things about the old way.
About not having a square, just being in the circle?
About just, there's a party and I just start walking.
Right?
Right.
Like, I'll get there when I get there.
Yeah, how about that?
That would be nice. Well, Dad, with that lovely image in our heads, I think we will wrap up this one on Litha here. And I thank you for bringing us the mythological aspects. And we will be back next week with another topic.
See you then.
All right. Bye. Thank you all so much for joining us today. We will be back next Monday with another topic, and I hope that you all enjoy midsummer and that you go outside and have fun in the sun this week. We'll see you next Monday.